Welcome to a special edition of Irish Illustrated Insider Extra. As you know, National Signing Day this week, we had a chance to talk to 9 assistant coaches, new guys, old guys, get some takes on recruiting, some takes on specific gets that Notre Dame had. So as Signing Day unrolled on Wednesday, we got a chance to talk to each assistant on an individual basis, one-on-one, which was a lot of fun. So we're going to present these interviews for you today in sort of a bonus podcast. We're going to break it up into 3 segments. First, we've got Mike Elston and Brian Poling. I wanted to sort of separate them. One, because they talked a lot about recruiting big picture stuff, how the class came together, selling Notre Dame. Obviously, Mike Elston is the recruiting coordinator. Brian Poling has recruiting experience at Notre Dame. And they both were heavily involved in the defensive line. Mike Elston as his position, Brian Poling going out to Hawaii to talk to Myron Tagovailoa. So I talked to both those guys about when they felt like Tagovailoa might be a guy Notre Dame could get. So those are the first interviews. First, Mike Elston. Next, Brian Poling.
Recruiting coordinator Mike Elston on National Signing Day. And listening to your press conference down there, I'm curious, when you're putting together this class, like, what was sort of the bigger hurdle to clear? Was it swimming upstream against a record that nobody really saw coming?
Right.
Or was it the staff changes where you have to compress a 2-year relationship into 2 weeks.
Right. I would say the hurdle was, first thing, the relationship. Okay. That was the biggest hurdle, because in order for them to answer the phone, there has to be some form of, you know, relationship. And so we kicked down that door, and it didn't get kicked down with several guys that we contacted. So so the first hurdle was the relationship part. And then it was the direction of the program questions. And you know, when you hear Coach Kelly talk, and when we got him on campus and they got around our players and they saw the new additions and the strength, you know, and conditioning, and been around our staff, Coach Elko and Coach Long, you know, I think that was the big selling point. That there's new energy, there's great energy. The players felt it, our current players, who they were around all weekend. And then they could see it with their eyes when they watched workouts. So, you know, I think that once we broke down the door of the relationship and got him here, then all the hurdles were you know, we're cleared.
Yeah. And just sort of more micro at your position, Myron in particular, you mentioned sort of he was at the USC game, had at least a little familiarity. When did you get the sense that maybe this is a match?
Right.
Where on paper, maybe you wouldn't assume that it would be.
Well, I think when Coach Poling flew out there and broke the ice with the family and sat down with them and realized that, you know, both parents are pastors and the spirituality piece and aligns perfectly with what they're looking for, even though it, you know, this is a Catholic university and they're not Catholic, but, you know, when you walk on this campus, you can't help but sense a spiritual awareness and growth that you can undertake with that, whatever religion you're in. So I think then when he came back and you know, he called us after he left the house and he said, this could really be a fit for us. And I think that was when it was, okay, well, what do we got to do to get him here?
With Darnell Yule, you know, somebody that maybe was not super on social media, so it's difficult for people in my position to like gauge, okay, how in is he, how is he not? When you talked to him, he seemed like he was totally in the whole way, but was there a sort of a reselling there when the relationships changed?
No. The part where I was most concerned with Darnell was when Coach Gilmore was no longer part of the staff, and then I became the defensive line coach, and my first conversation with him was very positive. There was no wavering, and that was when I was concerned. But no, there was—I had no reason to be concerned because Darnell was in it for Notre Dame, and he knew what this place could do for him and his family. So it wasn't—he didn't waver at all, to my knowledge.
And just big picture with this class overall, I know like everyone would like to sign more 5-star players.
Right.
That's recruiting.
Right.
But I would imagine you feel pretty good about the guys you're able to get and the circumstances that you're able to get them over the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, I feel really good about that. I agree with you in saying that. And, you know, I'm very pleased with where this class ended up to where, you know, we thought as a staff it may not end up, you know.
Yeah.
So there was some touchy moments there in the middle of January, which to me this is, and by the end of today, it's going to be extremely positive, I believe.
And just lastly, spinning it forward to 2018, I mean, is it going to be as critical a spring evaluation period as you've had just because those relationships have to sort of get rebuilt?
Our junior day coming up is going to be huge. We've targeted quite a few guys. You know, a lot of the events that we'll have for spring practices and stuff like that will be huge to get as many guys here as we possibly can. And then, you know, that'll kick it off first for us in the relationship building. And then the spring evaluation period, yes. It's important for the coaches because there's going to be coaches in new areas.
Yeah.
So getting them in to meet the high school coaches and build the relationship there as well.
Areas are pretty fluid still.
Yeah, we've got a great idea. Coach or Dave Polokin and I sat down, and we just have to get with Coach Kelly to finalize some things. But we've got a good understanding of where we want guys. We just got to get it finalized.
That's all right. Congrats. Thanks, appreciate Mike Elston.
You got it, buddy. Right. Thank you.
All right. All right, joined by Brian Pulley, Notre Dame's new special teams coach. Obviously, the story of the day here. Success in Hawaii again. I think you were already asked who the number one player in 2018 is out there, not 2019. But I guess you just sort of take me through when you knew this was a possibility, opposed to just a shot.
Yeah, so we made the decision to take a trip out there. And I went out just to see if we could get in the mix. And after having spent some time with the young man and his family, I called back and I told Coach Elston and everybody else, I said, hey, I don't know if we're going to get him, but I think we can. He's just got that, you know, that it factor that, you knew if this was what he wanted, he had the courage to do it when a lot of people around him would be talking about SC and, you know, all the other Oregon, all the other options that he had. So I was encouraged on the trip. And some people back here, I think, were a little bit surprised when I said I felt like we could do it. But then you know, it just kind of all fell into place, and all credit to the young man and his parents because they felt in their heart it was right, and they did, you know, they had the courage to do it.
We sort of got the vibe maybe Tuesday night that Notre Dame was looking good. When did you feel good, or did you have to wait for the full announcement?
I felt good at 1:45. He was doing interviews in Hawaii with a Notre Dame hat on before we actually had the paper in our hands.
Yeah.
So, but you know, when it's that far away, and when I'm, you know, it's just to me, it's not done till it's done because I've been on the bad end of one of those. But I'm excited now. I'm very excited.
And just big picture, I mean, you have head coaching experience. You've worked at Stanford, A&M, so you've seen recruiting classes come together, not come together. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you've recruited in conditions where it's, you know, 4-8 when everyone's expecting 10-2, and then there's 5 new coaches. What does it say, I guess, about the brand here and the product that you're able to close the way that you did?
Yeah, it speaks to the brand. It speaks to the quality of the education, and it speaks to the uniqueness of the place. But it also speaks to the work ethic of a bunch of guys that were thrust together with about a month to go. It speaks to the job of the coaches that were retained, held over, and the job that they did keeping the class together, those key components that were committed, and the organization as a whole. The last 3 weeks was a circus. I mean, we were everywhere. And just the logistics and the communication and the job that Coach Kelly did was amazing. I really feel like personally, this signing day, I think, changes the momentum and the narrative that we can turn the page on last year and we really begin moving forward in a positive manner.
Yeah, nice to spin it forward, you know, the excitement level to get out there, build relationships from the beginning opposed to trying to cram a year process into a week. How exciting is that going to be for you?
It's going to be great, and it's going to be good to know where you're going. And I mean, there were times in the last week of contact that you know, I didn't have a flight booked for the next day. I mean, we were literally on the phone with the good folks from Anthony Travel until midnight trying to just get it all done. So, I'm excited to, first and foremost, see my wife and kids for a couple days, and then after that, get going.
All right. Thanks, Brian Pohl, and congratulations.
Thank you.
Right. Next up in our Irish Illustrated Insider recruiting segment, we've got defensive coordinator Mike Elko, linebackers coach Clark Lee, and defensive backs coach Todd Light. And the subjects that I tackled with each of these guys was a little bit different. Mike Elko is more big picture just in terms of the recruiting process coming in late. He talked about not only recruiting 2017s, but 2018s, how this is an 18 to 24-month process. So I think you'll enjoy sort of his perspective on what it took to condense relationships over 2 years into 2 weeks. Clark Lee was a little bit more X's and O's with linebackers, what he looks for, why he likes David Adams and Drew White, and then we spent some time on the Rover position, which I think is going to be interesting to see unfold during spring ball. And then Todd Light, he was really open about not only the current roster here, but the guys they have coming in, Jordan Genmar-Keith and Isaiah Robertson, but We also spent a lot of time talking about boundary corners, field corners. So a little bit wonky there if you're into football schematics and X's and O's. So that's up. Our next segment, Mike Elko, Clark Lee, and Todd Light.
Pete Sampson here with new defensive coordinator Mike Elko. And I guess, you know, on signing day, numbers are important because you're, as you mentioned, you're changing from two safeties to three and really from three linebackers to two. Like, overall, are you comfortable with the numbers of this defense, with this class, the guys you have coming in? And certainly at this point when we're recording this, there's a chance there could be a few more too.
Yeah, no, very excited about what we were able to get done in a short period of time, and excited about the crew that was committed when we took over. And then I think we've done a decent job of going out and adding to that. And again, hopefully that'll continue as the day goes on.
And I guess when you came here and you looked at all the guys that are committed, is it, do sometimes we spend too much time analyzing, was this guy a fit or is this guy not? At Notre Dame, you look at these guys, I can make something out of this. I've taken more developmental guys at Wake Forest and Bowling Green than what's in this class.
Yeah, it's not so much about, guys not fitting for sure. I think we were really excited about the crew that was committed. I think the only thing we looked at was just trying to make sure that we balanced the class the right way. Mm-hmm. And I think maybe that was why some of the directions changed a little bit after we got here of the pieces we wanted to add down the stretch.
Mm-hmm. And how easy or difficult is to try to get on a guy late, offers at the very end, try to build a relationship that sometimes can be built over 2 years. You're trying to build it in 2 weeks.
Yeah, it's real challenging, right? And you got to put in a ton of work because, you know, recruiting is an 18-month to 24-month process nowadays with these kids. And with some of these, the communication started a month ago. And so you had to put in a little bit of overtime, a little bit of extra work, try to get families comfortable with their kids coming here.
And with all the stuff that you have going on, finishing this class, just moving here, getting to know the players, watching film, spring practice around the corner, how much time have you been able to get into a cycle beyond this now to start, you know, getting those relationships to be built over a year instead of over a month?
No, we had to. We've already started that process, and that started as quick as getting on the finish of the 17 class because we can't be behind moving forward to next year. So there's always there are already kids out there that we've targeted, and we'll continue to do so because we're already behind on 18 too.
All right, thanks, Mike. I appreciate it.
No problem. Thanks, Pete.
Pete Sampson, joined by Clark Lee, Notre Dame's new linebackers coach. Two linebackers on board, David Adams and Drew White. And I guess just big picture, what is the first thing you have to see on tape from a linebacker to make you think this guy could be a fit for me, could be a fit for Mike Elko's defense?
Well, we recruit three positions. Two are box, one is the field position. And so I think the skill sets are a little different. But the two box positions specifically, because that pertains to the kids we're going to talk about. I mean, you want to see a key and diagnose element. I mean, I don't want to see a lot of snaps of those guys running into the defensive lineman in front of them. I want to see them press the line and find windows and then have the ability to accelerate through the line and finish plays in the backfield. You know, that's important. I think pad level is important and footwork is important. You know, those are things that need to jump off. This guy has the ability to measure the back shoulder of the back and stay clean as he kind of paces that back shoulder. And then when the time comes for him to finish, he is accelerating through contact. And so that's important. And then, I think generally speaking, we want to see an energy level. I think anytime you put a highlight tape on and then watch game tape, you want to see a guy that's impacting his teammates. So that's also important. Hey, are they playing with energy? Are they celebrating? Are they playing with effort? Snap in, snap out. We'll look at game film to evaluate that. Those are the things.
I mean, it seems like you're two for two then with Adams and White in those departments that you've talked about. And I guess, are those guys that you were real familiar with before you got here? I don't know if Wake Forest was overly involved there, but did you have some familiarity with them when you walked on campus?
I did. David I had met and seen, I guess, as a youngster at Central Catholic. I mean, his recruiting started early.
Yeah.
And so never really developed a relationship, but knew who he was and had seen him at school and watched him work. Drew, I'd seen his film, and I did not know much about him otherwise because Western PA was part of my recruiting area when I was at Syracuse. And so I knew of them as players, knew about a little more about David just because I'd been recruiting the school. When I got here and got in front of them and got to know their families, I mean, the fit was as clear as it could be. Those two guys were perfect for Notre Dame.
And I think those spots, the Buck and the Mike, are pretty clear what you want, pretty clear what you have. Rover is could be anything. I mean, you've got all sorts of candidates to work with, some are at safety, maybe some are at linebacker now. Of the guys in this class, who maybe says, like, this guy could get a look for me down the road?
Maybe specifically, in this class, I mean, we'll take this crew and play them at the positions they've been recruited. You have to track growth, and you have to get a feel for how their bodies are going to develop. I mean, guys that come in and are playing in the secondary that all of a sudden, they grow another inch, and then they're putting on weight, and, nature's taking its course, so to speak. Right. You can identify that as you go. And the great thing about that position is it's not a lot of new learning. For example, if we have a safety that knows the scheme from that vantage point, from the back end, his transition down will be easy because he knows what's going on behind. My job is to teach him what's going on in front. Mm-hmm. And, we had a young man, Thomas Brown, at Wake Forest, who made that transition last year in the spring when I got there. And he ended up being our starter and had a great year and was the MVP of the bowl game.
Okay.
It's not so important that we identify that early and that we get going at that position early. We just got to keep eyes on their physical development while they're here.
I mean, we were talking to Coach Light a second ago, and he seemed more into your DJ Morgan, Spencer Perry types, guys who you mentioned nature taking its course. I saw Spencer Perry in the hallway there. Nature has taken its course there. I mean, those are the guys that you're probably going to work with first before figuring out what safety might move down in this class.
Yeah, and like for me, I'm always recruiting. Like my recruiting starts sometimes when I get here, and I'll laugh and joke about it. But, I mean, if we can have a safety that's 6'3", 225 pounds, that's a dynamic safety, then that's awesome. If you have a corner that's 6'1", 215 pounds, 205 pounds, then that's an elite physical corner. I will, on the side, be having conversations with those guys saying, hey, buddy, how would you like to, and that kind of, it's just,
sure.
And those things flesh out as we go. Generally, at this level, when you present an opportunity for somebody to get on the field, they jump at it. Mm-hmm. And that's what that position becomes.
Excellent. All right, Clark Lee, appreciate it.
Thank you.
Pete Sampson here with Todd Light on National Signing Day. And, unlike last year when you signed 7 defensive backs, 2 on board already, maybe 1 outstanding, the priorities were a little bit different.
Right.
The challenges were a little bit different, too.
Yes.
10-3 versus 4-8. I'm curious, what was that like as a recruiter? Instead of maybe having the wind at your back,
right,
have it be in your face.
Yeah, it's a little bit difficult. I mean, every high school kid wants to go to a program that has a lot of success. Obviously, traditionally, we always have a lot of success here at Notre Dame. But, last year was kind of an anomaly, and, we fell off, and we lost a lot of close games. Had a young team that, played some really, really good ball, but mm-hmm. just weren't able to finish the deal in a couple of instances. So, that was tough. But I think that everybody knows that this program is going to be back on top. Mm-hmm. Everybody's working hard for that, but it is difficult to recruit when you have a losing season, for sure.
And I don't know how much this is a positive or negative, or maybe it's indifferent, but when you're out recruiting and you're saying, hey, look how much Devin Studsill's playing, look how much Julian Love's playing, look how much Troy Pride's playing, look how much Jonte Vaughn's playing, might not be good at the time, but is that a good recruiting pitch to guys?
Absolutely, because, it shows that the best players play. Mm-hmm. And we've always been a system, and Coach Kelly's always been the mindset where we're going to put our best 11 on the field so we can play at a high level. So happened that a lot of our best guys were young guys, and we played them. They gained valuable experience. But for some competitors coming out of high school, they look at the roster, they see how many defensive backs are on the board, and they got to figure out, where would they fit in a group like that? Can they play? Can they play early? And can they compete? Some guys, the really great ones, they love the competition, and it doesn't matter who's on the roster. Mm-hmm. Some guys who are not so great competitors look at that roster and think to themselves, I don't want to go to a school like that because they're loaded in the secondary. And so I think last year we were secondary heavy in the recruiting class. This year, not so much. And so I think it'll be very advantageous for us as far as secondary, moving forward for the 2018 class.
Two guys who have signed already, one's already here, Isaiah Robertson, the other one, Jordan Genmar Keith, will be in the summer. What do you like about both those guys? Are they more similar or more different?
You know what? They're very similar in their athleticism. I think that, when you look at Jordan, the thing that really jumps out at you when you watch his tape is how physical he is and how powerful he is when he's taking on defenders and knocking back ball carriers. Loves contact, but he excels on both sides of the ball. That's where they're very similar. You know, I think Isaiah and Jordan both excelled on both sides of the ball. Isaiah, more so at the wide receiver position. You know, when you watch his tape, the thing that really jumps out at you is his speed, how smooth he is, how much grass he takes up, his ability to attack the ball in the air, and his ability to make plays once he has the ball in his hands to make defenders miss and put it in the end zone. And I think that when I'm watching young defenders, I want to see how well they do on offense, because guys with great ball skills, guys with high football IQ, make the best defenders, and these guys both fit that bill.
To spin it forward a little bit, how much, and you referenced this earlier, corner next year, how many guys do you need? Do you feel like it's a good board on February 1?
Yeah, I feel really good about it. I think that, you know, for us to be successful, we need six guys to get it done. Because when you're looking at college football nowadays in the landscape, now you look at the Clemson-Alabama game, national championship game, Clemson ran 99 offensive plays against Alabama, which is arguably one of the greatest defenses of all time, right? Yeah. If you have those numbers of plays over a 12-game season, that's a lot of plays. And you can't ask, you know, six guys to handle that workload. You need 10 to 12 guys to handle that workload in the secondary. And so I think that you have to play a lot of guys to play at a high level of consistency. And so that's what we're trying to, you know, get our kids to buy into. And I think that, you know, long term, it'll be beneficial for everybody, because everybody will get to play, everybody's invested, and you can share the workload amongst the group.
Yeah. So probably at least two, maybe three corners next year.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. No, we're going to play four or five corners.
Oh, I mean in recruiting.
Oh, yes. In recruiting, it'll be about three or four corners, yes, for sure.
And just lastly, how does the fundamentals, techniques, approach change under Mike Elko for your job, coaching just more focusing on corners?
Yeah, it'll be great. You know, with the time that we're allotted, it's not a lot of time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's not like pro football where you can study an opponent all day and then you can watch your own tape and critique your own technique. You know what I mean? You have to be very efficient with your time. And, you know, I think that with him taking the safeties and me taking the corners, I'll be able to focus a lot more on the corners, especially with the technique part of it. I know last year, you know, because we had so many young guys playing, I was very focused on scheme, you know what I mean, and strategy and opponent scout film, where I didn't get to watch as much one-on-one as I would have liked to with the players. This year, with Mike taking over the safeties, it would allow me to free me up to watch a lot more one-on-one, and then we can really dig down into the technique part of it. And I think that the players will really get a lot out of that, and they will benefit from that.
And it's all like kind of a field boundary concept, same as safety.
Yeah, we're going to do corners. Yes, we're going to go field boundary. And so right now we're looking at Nick Watkins, Dante Vaughn at the boundary corner, and then Julian Love, Troy Pride, Sean Crawford in the field corner.
And I guess just up to that, Sean, how is he coming along?
He's coming along really well. You know, he's not at full speed yet, but I would say he's probably maybe 60-70%.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so he's coming around. Sean is such a great athlete, and he's so young that, you know, his body's elastic enough where he will be able to snap back. You know, if you or I had that same injury, we'd be out for 3 years. But, you know, a guy like Sean, you know, he'll be able to come back after about 6 months, so, which is really good.
Yeah. So there's a chance he'll be at least moving around during spring ball.
You know, I think that he'll be able to move around. Obviously, we want to make sure that we take care of him so he doesn't have another setback. You know, obviously, he had a setback his first year with the knee and then this year. So we want to be ultra careful with Sean so when he does come back that he's firing on all cylinders and ready to go.
All right. Congratulations, Todd Light. Appreciate it.
Perfect. Thank you, sir. All right.
Our next batch of coaches on the offensive side of the ball, we've got offensive coordinator Chip Long, wide receivers coach Dell Alexander, then jumping back to some holdover coaches, Autry Denson at running back, Harry Heaston on the offensive line. With Chip Long, it's obvious, talked a lot about tight ends, joked a little bit about where the gift basket goes for inheriting Brock Wright and Cole Kmet. Dell Alexander, we spent more time on Michael Young and Jafar Armstrong, what they're getting there, what he likes in the receiver position, where those guys might fit. Autry Denson, we talked some about C.J. Holmes, also a little bit about Tony Jones. I wanted to get some insight into where he is coming off a redshirt year. And then Harry Heaston, some small picture, some big picture. Talk about why the heck do offensive linemen commit so early and his recruiting style. And then we also talked sort of a little bit more horse race with Aaron Banks, how that recruitment played out, when they felt like that was a guy they were going to get, and why they think they ultimately got him. So Wrapping up this, we've got Chip Long, Dell Alexander, Autry Denson, and Harry Heastand next on segment three of our Irish Illustrated Insider Extra.
Pete Sampson joined by Chip Long on National Signing Day. I guess, where do you send the thank you note to the previous staff for Brock Wright and Cole Kmet?
No, I need to send them a big one, yeah. And then a care package to go along with it. Yeah. You know, those are two of the best tight ends in the country, one and two, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. And the fact they're in the same class and one's already here, you know, speaks volume of the work they did. And, you know, I couldn't ask for a better situation. There's no question about it.
What best part of both those guys' games? I'm assuming it's something different for each.
You know, they're both very similar. They're both extremely long, very athletic. Both have great ball skills. You know, Brock's probably a little bit more inline work in high school than Cole did. But Cole will be fine there. But both of them are guys you can split out and win one-on-one. And, you know, they're two great talents. Yeah, both of them can run.
Yeah, I'm sure you found this, like, being around Brock for at least a couple of weeks, like, both seem like really good fits for Notre Dame, too.
Oh,
like,
perfect fits. Yeah. I mean, come from great families, great students, very conscientious kids, and extremely hard worker. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Cole's a two-sport athlete. He has a 9-mile-an-hour fastball. Yeah. And so very active guys and very athletic guys that happen to be 6'6 and 250 pounds, which you want. And
one thing I want to follow up, you mentioned, I think, in one of the videos that tight end is actually the second hardest position in your offense to play. Into that a little bit, because
it's really play specific. Because we want to play at a tempo, and for me to streamline the verbiage, you know, they have to know where to line up in that formation based off of the play. Mm-hmm. So they have to be able to think on the move, and that's, you know, run game, protections, pass game. They have to be able to do what a receiver does out there. They have to be able to do what a running back does. And then obviously, you know, working the trenches with the O-line. So we put a whole lot on them. Now, with what we do in our RPO game and just our total offense, really showcases them. So they figure it out. They're going to be one of the most productive positions in the offense.
Tougher than maybe people expect for a freshman to come in and contribute then right away, or especially with Brock being here,
you know,
you find stuff.
Right. Well, I mean, I've just been doing it for so long. I know how to protect them and build them where they're getting confidence and they work on certain things, you know, by being able to exchange them. These are play specific. I can put, you know, my veteran guy in for stuff that a veteran needs to do, where a younger freshman can kind of hide and do things till he picks up what exactly we want him to do. So, it just, you know, it has answers.
To spin it forward a little bit, what are you looking for most the next cycle as you get out? Fresh start, 0-0 records, you're getting Notre Dame down, you get to pick and choose who you want.
Right, the very best. There's no question. You know, every year I try to replace, I got to replace Brock and Cole. So I got to find someone better than those two. So, you know, that's slim pickings right there. You're going for the very best. And so, but I think you can sell that here. And so we'll go after the very best tight ends in the country and kind of hopefully get them on campus and do the evaluations, build the relationships. But I think once they see the offense and what it can do for them and kind of where the NFL's heading with that position, really brings a lot of interest.
It's Chip Long, Notre Dame's offense coordinator. Thanks, Chip. Congratulations. Sampson with Delvon Alexander, Notre Dame's new wide receivers coach. A couple guys in today, Michael Young, Jafar Armstrong. Mm-hmm. One guy had been committed to Notre Dame forever. Mm-hmm. One guy committed just a couple days ago. Right. What do you like about those guys? Are they more similar or more different?
They're similar and different at the same time. You know, they're both physical. One is, you know, a track guy, but the other one is also fast, you know. They're quick. Michael's quick. Michael asks a lot of questions. He's a student. I think Jafar is determined and more open to whatever it is you need to do coaching-wise. Mm-hmm.
And in terms of coaching young receivers, what's the key to make an impact right away? I think it's a position here at Notre Dame, at least, where unless you're an early enrollee, it's difficult based on Coach Kelly's offense. But what's the most important thing for those guys to do when they show up here in the summer?
Well, the most important thing is for me to have some things structured for them. You know, that's the biggest thing, to have video, to have a workout plan for them outside of the weight room, but to have things for them to do so that they can have success. You know, they need to come in and identify with what we're doing as a wide receiver, what we're doing on offense, as well as what the other players will teach them about Notre Dame. Mm-hmm.
And I know we talked the other day about Jafar, probably more of an X out of the gate. You know, you've got Equiminius St. Brown there and Chase Claypool. Michael, where do you see sort of his, I guess, first reps?
Right. Well, they'll be to the field. His first reps will be based on the guys that are here. That's the hardest thing for those guys is based on the guys that are here and how we deploy them. You know, we've got these 15 practices coming up. Some guys are going to have some success. Some guys are going to have a learning curve. It never fails. So,
right.
So when these guys get an opportunity to get 15 practices ahead of them, then we'll know exactly where to put these other guys.
And just to spin it forward a little bit, how much are you looking forward to getting out on the road in spring already? You know, you're 0-0 at that point.
Right.
You have some familiar with Notre Dame.
Right.
You have a lot more familiar with your roster. I think all those things it will be energizing for you.
Yeah. Well, I'm looking forward to it. You know, I've been in contact with, you know, the top 25 guys at the position, and I'm looking forward to watching those guys work. You know, when you go out to a school and you do those evaluations, whether it's in the classroom or it's out at practice, you know, those guys are trying to, you know, show you that they can make an impact in the program. So I'm looking forward to going out and seeing if it's all hype or, you know, if a guy's serious about being able to compete at the highest level.
I mean, just in terms of numbers for next class, probably a 3 or 4 man haul?
Yeah, I think so. You know, we'll look at the numbers, but, yeah, we're thinking about 3 guys.
Okay, excellent. All right, Delvon Alexander, congratulations. National Signing Day, joined by Notre Dame running backs coach Autry Denson, and picked up one in C.J. Holmes, who's already here. Heard a little bit, I mean, he seems like he's somebody who can do a lot of everything. Where do you see his biggest strength? What can he start building on first?
I think just in his versatility. Mm-hmm. He can. That's what he's been doing. He's been trained to do it all. So we want to continue to, you know, we want to continue to grow him in those areas. We want to continue to allow him to be him, you know, and that's who he is. He's a very versatile athlete, not necessarily just position. He is a running back. But he's a versatile athlete, and that's what we wanted when we were looking for our running back.
You're going to have an interesting meeting room with him, Tony Jones, coming off a red shirt. I don't know if Deion McIntosh is with you, but somebody you recruited. Where are those guys right now as winter workouts and spring practices around the corner?
As far as?
Tony, just like where they, their development, how they got better last year.
When you start talking about, well, if you want to go down the room, we'll go to Josh. I mean, Josh still has to take steps. He's obviously played, you know, for 2 years. But it's a clean slate, man. Guys got to go in and compete. That's one of the things we've been able to do well. I think by continuing to add young men with that level of talent, it continues to push the room. So even the older guys can't get complacent. The younger guys have something to shoot for, and the older guys have to keep going. So we're just always trying to move that thing forward. So Tony is, he made a ton of strides. He did exactly what we wanted him to do. He got bigger, faster, and stronger. And now he'll be hungry to play. I think the best thing about all of those guys is that they all have the mentality that they are going to be the guy. None of them are saying that Josh is a starter. Josh is not saying that he's a starter. Dexter's not saying that Josh is a starter. You can't tell Tony Jones that he isn't the starter, and CJ thinks he's better than all of them. So just that mentality is what allows the room to continue to grow.
I'm curious, like, you've been recruiting for a while. You know Florida. Last year you're going down there, 10-3 record, Fiesta Bowl, kind of wind at your back a little bit. What were the challenges of doing it this year, trying to make headway with guys, and they're asking, like, guys went 4-8. What happened? How do you try to overcome that?
With the truth, you don't have to overcome it. And here's where the difference is, because I've lived it being in Notre Dame. Notre Dame is not purely a football decision. That's a factor in, you know, other factors that determine if you're going to pick it. Notre Dame is a choice. And so we didn't have the season we wanted to have. But for the guys who committed to Notre Dame, they didn't commit just for football. They committed for the academic. They committed for the social life from a character standpoint, and they committed for the football. So I didn't feel like I had to overcome anything because those guys were Notre Dame guys. They fit, and they picked Notre Dame for all the various reasons. And then they also had that sense of pride already that they also weren't happy where we were, and that them coming to Notre Dame will help get it back to where it needs to be to make sure we didn't go 4-8.
Autry Denson, thanks for joining us.
No problem.
Pete Sampson with Irish Illustrated, joined by Harry Heast on a national signing, a 4-man class. And one thing I was curious about was, you know, last season created some hurdles for you guys on the recruiting trail. Offensive line cleared them no problem. There was no doubt about what signing day was going to look like for you, for your position. Why do you think that was? Why was everything so secure at your spot?
Because I think we were able to identify the right young men, and that when the guys that want to reach certain goals in their life, that they're not going to listen to all the negativity out there when they have a tough season and things. That they're coming here for way more than that, and that, you know, three or four games is insignificant to them. What they're looking at is what this university can, the opportunities this university can give them, the football program, the coaching, all of it. So they're smart enough to know that this is what was best for them. That's why they decided to come here. They looked at all the universities out there, and then they're not paying attention to that at all.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's your business approach or just the nature of the position, but to be able to get your work done early with commitments, Dylan Gibbons committing, I think, April of 2015. What do you think is the key to that, to getting it done early? Is it just offensive linemen like to get this out of the way?
No, I think it's more that we were able to identify the right young man, and that when the guys have the qualities that we're looking for, and they have the interest in achieving great things as a student, as an athlete, and then they come here and then they see this great university, then they're around our players, and they realize that all the things I'm saying to them, those guys are backing up, not because I give them the script and say, okay, here's a recruit, you got to say this, this, and this. I always tell them the way it is, because I'm telling them the way it is. So you need to tell them the way. You don't have to recruit them. I said, we're going to lay out, this is how we're going to help you be your best, and then you want to be part of it or you don't. And then they have to figure out if that's truthful. And where they get to truth, I think, is from their peers and from the players or from people that have experienced Notre Dame or being coached by me or playing an offensive line in the past, that there's a track record and a history of similar types of kids that have had a lot of success and grown up to be men through the way that we do things. And so I think just being straightforward and honest along the way, identifying the right guys, and then get them around this university and our players, they're going to see, hey, I want to be part of this. Mm-hmm. Well, there's no reason to delay it then. If you're not sure, then they're probably not coming here. You know, so I think it happens early because it just kind of hits them. Geez, this is great for me. I like everything about it.
Well, lastly, I want to ask you just about one recruitment in particular, Aaron Banks, because he was the guy that came on last in December after the season, and you know, certainly not from the Midwest, maybe not a natural connection to Notre Dame. What do you think the key was to getting him to say yes, and then you know, getting him here obviously as an early enrollee as well?
Yeah, I think we went through a process of evaluation with him where we wanted to see his academics, and we wanted to see that kind of it's harder the farther away they are because, you know, we don't have as much face-to-face contact with them. And so we didn't have him here like we've had Dylan and Josh even prior to their commitment. So it took us a little more time. So we were a little bit behind with him, and then once we got the right amount of information and started to develop that relationship, they came out in the spring, and then they came back again in the fall. And both times they came here, they stayed for like 2 to 3 days, and the mom and the brother and the dad and everybody was, you know, taking it all in, so they had lots of input. Mm-hmm. And so it just took some time, and I think in the end, they just felt like this was what was best. And you know, you'd have to ask him, but it was, you could tell when you were around him that he lit up and he was excited about being at a place that's maybe a little bit smaller, maybe a little more personable, maybe a little bit more of a family type program as opposed to the giant state schools with 30, 40, 50,000 people. And it just kind of started to fit. And then he just wanted to confirm that it was the right thing. So he took a little time with it. And, but yeah, I could kind of just tell, you can usually tell it's hitting them, you know, and some people this hits and some people it doesn't.
All right. Harry Eason, thanks so much. Appreciate it. Congratulations.
Yes, thanks.
That's it for our Irish Illustrated Insider Extra Recruiting Roundup podcast. Hope you enjoyed hearing from Notre Dame's 9 assistant coaches. Some real good insight there in terms of what they're looking for, how they went about pulling this class together, and what it all means moving forward. As far as our next podcast, we'll be back February 13th, full staff. No assistant coaches joining us. It will just be myself, Tim Priester, and Tim O'Malley. So until then, thanks for listening.